60 years ago, wells went dry. It was the long Indian summer of 59. We were all Indians, Sioux and Crow, Choctaw and Apache. Medicine men put ears to the ground, did rain dances, smoked peyote woodbines on hilltops. Blankets were scorched, making smoke signals. Water diviners took long strides through blonde meadows. Divining rods remained inert in their hands. Our medicine men had no answers. Our priests could only gulp the Madeira sherry that was supposed to be for higher purposes. Our native crows hid in the branches and boughs. We poked hard sods at them with our hurleys. There wasn't a drip from the taps. A knuckle wrapped on the water tank gave back only a hollow sound. Garden hoses stayed hanging on pegs in sheds. Tractor-tanned farmers took to the roads with barrels, queued up wherever there were deep springs and sloshed buckets of deep earth water into their barrels. They couldn't let the cows go dry. It was the same in towns. Beetles made their homes up taps. Water levels so low that rocks rose out of riverbeds and waterweed was yellow and smelly as the corpses of serpents. In the cities, people drank the maiwadi undiluted. There was no laundry to hang on clotheslines. Dublin, Cork and Limerick and Belfast all smelled of bake and empty drain pipes and crackled of static and brine nylon and flakes of lux. So we went to watering holes far away by the sea to cool down. Bonmahan, Dunmore East, Ballycotton, Curraghclough. The All-Ireland hurling series ran endlessly through that long Indian summer, created the crescendos of Sunday afternoon radios. And when we arrived home from the foamy, refreshing sea in the evenings, our 12 cows were waiting by the gate, hoofing the dust, and would only yield a few buckets of milk between them, would hardly raise a froth. Except there was always energy for one topic, the hurling. There was a man of our town come home from the wars of his life, come home with a metal plate in his head from wounds received, and a big green parrot who'd sailed back across the sea with him to the Emerald Isle, only to be caged in a tiny kitchen. On matchday Sundays, this man would pace by his radio, listening to the commentary, while the parrot would shriek, "It's a long way to Tipperary." To the top of Slieve na Mon, he was known as the Killinall Parrot. But that summer, his gizzard was so rasped by drought, he couldn't even croak. And maybe he thought, why should he be bothered? Tip weren't in the All-Ireland anyway. The neighbouring counties of Waterford and Kilkenny were grabbing the spotlight in 59. And the parrot's owner had no inclination to teach him to recite the Rose of Muncoin or the old Dungarvan Oak, but could only mooch around town, the ancient mariner, nor any drop to drink. Match day arrived on the 6th of September, hot as the hoops on Eddie Cahir's hurley. That day, Tom Chiesty scored a memorable point, storming past Kilkenny backs. "As though they were dying wasps," commentator Michael O'Hare said. The match ended in a draw. Michael O'Hare was exhausted at his microphone, and our journeys to the foamy seas along the coasts went on until the replay. Only now it was dark as we came home, and still the cows had to be milked, and still water had to be hauled. The hurling replay was set for October the 4th. The parch of the country would not abate. Fever was rife. Hurling fever. 30 stripped down men manning the gap against lethargy. Talk was of Chiesty and Grimes, Cahir and Clahasy. Men spoken of in the same tones as the heroes of Thermopylae. At the replay, in the month of Halloween, the roofs on the stands of Croke Park rattled in their nuts and bolts with the rumble. And when the final whistle sounded, the white and blue of Waterford came out on top. Supporters streamed from the ground, a river of colour. And then, later that month, the rain did come. It clarioned with a clap of thunder from the dark southwest. At first, a few drops, huge drops that rolled like marbles in the dust. Then the wind rushed in until the sound of it over roofs was like a thousand boys running sticks along iron railings. Hens ran for indoor roosts. The rain had come, marching over roofs of farm after farm, street after street, town after town. Torrents rolled into the cracks of hard earth, filled the wells and streams and rivers until worms rose and the hens flew out again and the stock of hurlers was renewed and youth had its fling and was ready for the following year, when would come new hurlers, new teams, and last year's teams would become legend. 60 years on, and each year the wells spring anew. Sap of bending ash, splashing strides through puddles, sideline cuts with rainbow spray of dew. Camogie girls trampolining on a risty, well-watered sod. Each year, a new promise. Coming from upsleeve bloom, coming along the banks of the Lee, Liffey, Shannon, Lagan. This year, it comes from bubbling Tubridorn and from the river Nore that flows gently along. Deep in Davy Jones's locker, a parrot is polishing up his motto. A man with the iron plate in his cranium is again prancing the sidelines of his radio. Crows are dancing on pancakes of dried cow dung, rain dancing. The spirits of the waters, undercurrents, Ishka Fuihalev.